The fiasco in Afghanistan is not a fiasco. It is a carefully orchestrated and engineered show to bring about the next phase of the deep state's agenda, a multipolar world order. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. All the talking heads on your television are telling you that Biden is incompetent, he's an idiot, his generals are idiots. How could they be responsible for such a giant screw-up? Well, folks, it's not a screw-up. This was carefully planned. This was carefully orchestrated. It all fits into the broader deep state agenda. There are several things going on here that we're going to break down for you. And we actually have been talking about them in the New American Magazine for many, many years. So regular readers of our publication are not surprised by this in the slightest. One of the big events that's going to be coming out of this is the knocking down of the United States. They've been talking for over a decade about how they want to build a multipolar world order. You can't have a new world order and just have this United States of America based on the idea that God created us equally, God gave us rights, the government exists to protect rights, we're going to be free, we're going to have guns, we're going to have free speech, we're going to be able to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. Can't have that, right? You absolutely can't have that. So they harnessed our economic might, they harnessed our military might, they used it to remake the world, to betray the allies of freedom, and to boost the enemies of freedom and the enemies of all that is right. And now they're ready to knock the United States down so they can make way for this multipolar world order. One of those poles will be the mass murdering dictatorship in China. And that brings us to agenda number two, further boosting of the mass murdering dictatorship enslaving the people of China. The most murderous dictatorship in all of human history. A little not fun fact. Well over 100 million people slaughtered, and that's not even counting the unborn babies that they slaughtered as part of their so-called population control schemes. So this so-called humiliation in Afghanistan for the United States is paving the way for a much, much stronger communist China. And obviously, if you've been watching this program for a while, you know that the butchers in Beijing are very close allies with the deep state here in the Western world. And that has been the case from the time they took over and even before. So this was planned. They're getting exactly what they wanted, and it is coming. One of the things that we need to talk about is the flying of the pride flag in Kabul. You guys probably saw that absurd tweet by the embassy in Kabul, the U.S. embassy, with a homosexual pride flag celebrating sodomy and telling the very, very, very anti-homosexual people of Afghanistan that, hey, homosexuality is wonderful and we should all have equal rights for homosexuals to have sodomy and things. Well, the people of Afghanistan were not amused, okay? Even the ones who kind of liked America were not amused. If you look at the data on Afghanistan, that is an extremely serious affront to their culture, to their religion. It was, of course, calculated. It was a devastating blow to any impact America may have been able to have there. It made all the people who supported America there look like fools, and it was a disaster. Now, we, of course, have covered some of the weird sexual practices that go on in Afghanistan, and weird doesn't really do it justice. In fact, we did a very significant article in the New American years ago where we exposed what they call the Bahabazi, right? This is supposedly part of the Afghan culture. They make little boys dance and then they rape them. And American troops there, you know, they're arming these guys, they're training these guys, they're giving them heavy weaponry that you American citizens are not allowed to have. And then they're being forced to watch and to sit back and do nothing as these grown bearded men with turbans on their head are raping little dancing boys. Absolutely sick and absolutely disgusting. There's a saying over there, boys are for pleasure, women are for babies. And so into this culture comes the outrageous Biden regime and says, hey, everybody, we love homosexuality. You guys should love homosexuality, too. We're going to promote gender stuff. We're going to have women in your military. I mean, really, guys, absolutely insane. And yet that's what they did. And, you know, I want to go back a little further than this, too, before the U.S. government finished poisoning the well, right? You're going to win the hearts and minds of people who think sodomy should be punished by death. You're going to win the hearts and minds by flying pride parades. Really? Okay. That's absolutely insane. But you go back a little bit before, and the Taliban, the extremist, totalitarian, barbarian Islamists who are now in the process of re-enslaving Afghanistan, were actually supported by the U.S. government under the guise of fighting the Soviet Union, which, of course, if you've been watching the show for a while, you know the deep state helped put the Soviet Union in place. They helped build up the Soviet economy. The evidence is overwhelming. Go read Anthony Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. You'll see that some of the biggest bankers, the deep state bankers on Wall Street, financed Lenin and Trotsky so that they could enslave Russia. So it's just a never-ending pattern here. But if you go back to the 70s and even into the 80s, the U.S. government was supporting the Mujahideen, the barbarian Islamists who, you know, want to enforce this really draconian interpretation of Sharia law that they have. And so they supported them. Some of these guys eventually became Al-Qaeda. Some of them became the Haqqani Network, all these different Islamist terrorist groups that we have been reporting on here at The New American for a very long time. And don't believe me, here is Hillary Clinton, who proudly gets her instructions from the Council on Foreign Relations. Listen to her testifying about this very issue.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union.
Now, you guys know this is nothing new. More recently, the U.S. government partnered with totalitarian jihadists, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, etc., in Libya and in Syria. I kid you not, you guys know it. We know it from official government documents. In the Defense Intelligence Agency outlined the fact that the U.S. government was supporting the Syrian revolution. They pointed out in there that the Syrian revolution was being led by Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. And they pointed out in this DIA document that Judicial Watch pried loose that one of the goals of the powers supporting the Al-Qaeda rebellion in Syria was to build an Islamic principality, a Salafist principality in eastern Syria. We eventually called that ISIS, or the Islamic State. Same thing was going on in Libya, right? The Obama administration kind of switched sides in the so-called terror war, started backing Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, which was the Libyan branch of Al-Qaeda. The U.S. military has known that since at least 2007, because it's in their publications. So this is not new, guys. And you're probably thinking at this point the same thing that all the talking heads on BoobTube want you to think. Oh, they're so stupid. How could they possibly be so stupid? We need somebody to admit that they were stupid, and then we'll have some minions fall on their swords, and then we'll forget all this happened. Folks, if you think this was stupidity, I don't know how to say this nicely, but and I won't call you stupid, but really, you got to pay attention, guys. Now, our Secretary of Defense, our very first Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, wonderful, wonderful American. He famously said, and this is a quote that came from Joe McCarthy, the U.S. Senator. He said, and I'm quoting here from his book, before meeting Jim Forrestal, I thought we were losing to international communism because of incompetence and stupidity on the part of our planners. I mentioned that to Forrestal. I shall forever remember his answer. He said, McCarthy, consistency has never been the mark of stupidity. If they were merely stupid, they would occasionally make a mistake in our favor. He says, this phrase struck me so forcefully that I have often used it since. Folks, these people are not stupid. If they were stupid, every once in a while, they'd be like, oops, we did something and it actually helped America. Oops, we did something and it made America richer. Oops, we did something and now America's military is better off and we're not making flight suits for pregnant women and teaching critical race theory to our troops so that they hate each other. But no, that never happens, right? Always, 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 they are handing victory to our enemies. And they are betraying our allies. In fact, Jonas Savimbi in Angola He said something very interesting. This was related by a Dr. Peter Hammond, a wonderful Christian missionary in South Africa who knew him personally. He said that Savimbi said often that it was better to be an enemy of America than an ally or a friend of America, because the friends were going to be sold to the enemies and the enemies were going to be bought. So we have seen this pattern over and over and over again. And today we see it once again in Afghanistan. So the Taliban is now really fond of the monsters in Beijing. And you're probably thinking, that's weird. The communists in Beijing hate God. They hate Muslims. They're literally, they've got like a million of them in concentration camps in Western China, in the Shaanxi region, East Turkestan or Western China, as the Chai Coms like to call it. That's really weird that Islamic fundamentalists like the Taliban would get along so great with their so-called great neighboring country of China. Well, in an interview with the South China Morning Post, a spokesman for the Taliban, Sukhail Shahin, said China, our great neighboring country, can have a constructive and positive role in the reconstruction of Afghanistan and also in the economic development and prosperity of the people of Afghanistan. It is expected that China will play its role. We are ready to exchange views with China on how to forge ahead in terms of boosting of our mutual relations, establishing peace in the region, and assistance in the reconstruction of Afghanistan. Really interesting, right, that the Taliban are now cozy, cozy, buddy, buddy with mass murdering communists who hate God and who hate Muslims. Very weird, right? He also said, Sukhail also said, that the Taliban has given a clear message to all that no one can use the soil of Afghanistan against neighboring and other countries, right? In other words, we won't mess with the Muslims that you have in concentration camps. We're not going to protest. We're not going to let anybody on our soil do anything about the extermination, the cultural genocide that you are now unleashing in Shaanxi. We're just going to be quiet about that. And guess who warned you about all this, folks? And really, I'm not one to say I told you so very often, but I told you so. Okay. In 2014, I wrote an article for The New American. Again, if you're not reading The New American, you probably don't understand very well what's going on in the world. All you got to do is get a subscription, go to thenewamerican.com. And what did we expose? We exposed the fact that the Chai Coms were going to be the big victors in Afghanistan. We explained that the communist Chinese were making deals with the Taliban to ensure that no matter what happened in Afghanistan, their interests would be protected. I quoted a senior U.S. State Department official who actually said this during a telephone briefing for reporters, and I'm quoting here. This is from the Obama regime. China's view of engaging in Afghanistan over the course of these past few years has really changed significantly, and in our view, in a very positive direction. Hey, we're glad China's going to scoop in and reap the benefits of this massive fiasco. It's a real demonstration of China's commitment to Afghanistan, to its role in the region, and one that we greatly welcome. Okay, so the Obama regime, which was busy helping jihadist terrorists in the Middle East, which was busy boosting commies, going down to Cuba, you know, taking pictures with Fidel Castro in front of Che Guevara's statue. And I'm not kidding you. Okay. He says, their administration says, we are so glad that communist China is going to come into Afghanistan. This is just going to be so wonderful. Meanwhile, the communist Chinese were lending the U.S. government money so that we could keep sinking it into Afghanistan, really handing it over to the military industrial complex, and so that we could build up huge armament supplies, something like $85 billion worth, so that the Taliban could eventually have it. China's laughing all the way to the bank. By the way, this war will cost about $6.5 trillion once you factor in the interest we've got to pay on the loans, the medical care for all the troops who were maimed, wounded, psychologically destroyed by this atrocity. China was really, really smiley about this, and their ally in Pakistan, one of the top U.S. foreign aid recipients in the world, was at the very same time supporting the very same Islamic terror groups that were killing American soldiers, okay? This is how it all works, guys, and don't think they're stupid. They're not stupid. They're so much smarter than we are and so much smarter than you are. Don't let them lead you to believe that they're stupid. So one of the Council on Foreign Relations bigwigs who's been right at the center of all this, and if you don't know the Council on Foreign Relations, you got to go back and watch our episode on the CFR. It is deep state headquarters here in the United States. This guy, his name is Zalmay Khalilzad. He was the former U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, to Iraq, to the United Nations. So he's been a very, very influential figure. He's also an Afghan. And he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So he's like a deep state, or at least deep state lackey, toady wannabe, right? And this is what he said. I quoted this in my article from 2014. China is perhaps the only power with the incentives, resources, and national will to make Afghanistan's ambitious vision a reality. Beijing has already made sizable investments in Afghan copper and oil, including a $3 billion agreement to develop the Aynak copper mine. China is eyeing Afghan natural gas. Western companies, without backing from their governments, have proven unwilling or unable to make comparable investments. If Beijing were to invest in the country's infrastructure, new transit corridors would facilitate Chinese trade westward to Iran in the Middle East and south to the Gwadar port in Pakistan. And today we know this whole scheme as the One Belt, One Road, or the New Silk Road that the mass-murdering dictatorship in communist China is building, with help from the deep state, with help from the United Nations, with help from the IMF and the World Bank. They were planning on it all the way back then, and the CFR was right smack in the middle of it all, folks. If you think they're stupid, you're not paying attention. The former U.S. ambassador, this Khalilzad guy, the Afghan CFR member who worked for the U.S. government at the highest levels, he said Washington, D.C. is going to have to play its part and help plan for the future of Afghanistan with the communist Chinese in this trilateral forum that they were building, guys. Now, the exact same thing happened in Iraq, folks, and we covered this in the New American many years ago, an article by Jack Kenny from Iraq War Paying Off for China. And here's what Jack Kenny wrote. Remember all those assurances that the Iraq war would pay for itself once those oil revenues began gushing from a liberated Iraq? Well, a decade later, the Iraq war is paying off after all for China. We lost out, said Michael Makovsky, a former Defense Department official in the Bush administration. The Chinese had nothing to do with the war. But from an economic standpoint, they are benefiting from it, and our Fifth Fleet and Air Forces are helping to assure their supply. Folks, do you think they're stupid? It's because you're not paying attention. China is the biggest customer of Iraq's oil, buying nearly 1.5 million barrels a day, close to half of all the oil that Iraq produces, according to the New York Times. And Beijing is looking to increase that share as it is bidding, or it was at that time, for ExxonMobil's operations and their oil fields in Iraq. So then, according to Deniz Natali, a Middle East expert at National Defense University in Washington, the Chinese are the biggest beneficiaries of this post-Saddam oil boom in Iraq. They need energy, and they want to get into the market. Isn't that cute, folks? Americans pay with their lives, with their treasure, with their military, with the enslavement of their children and grandchildren to pay off the interest on the debt to fund all these illegal no-win wars, and China walks away with the money bags. Huh. Wouldn't it be comforting if these people in Washington, D.C. were just idiots? But they're not. Okay. I want to show you a video. Mr. George Soros, speaking of money bags, he said in this interview that Communist China should own the New World Order. Don't believe me? Check it out.
Need to bring China into the creation of a new world order.
Own the New World Order. Yeah, okay. Communist China. So, you know, now Soros is pretending like he doesn't like Xi Jinping, Winnie the Pooh. Like, oh, Winnie the Pooh is a threat to the world, open societies, and blah, blah, blah. Whether Soros really believes that or not, I don't know. He may, you know, maybe Winnie the Pooh is going off the reservation. Maybe he's not being a good deep state toady anymore, and now he wants to run the show himself. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. We didn't agree to that, right? You can't do that. Who said you could do that? And so maybe now they're mad. I don't know. But this is how they work, right? And folks, I mean, don't misunderstand me here. These deep state swamp monsters, they're always fighting with each other, right? Always remember, Trotsky ended up with an ice pick in the side of his head. The overwhelming majority of the founders of the Comintern ended up being executed and purged. And I mean, only a handful of them died a natural death, right? Most of them were murdered by their communist overlords that they helped put into power, right? Stalin purged basically all of his top minions over and over again. He would slaughter them all, and then new ones would step in. Okay, so yeah, these people are barbarous. They often turn on each other. They have no morals. They have no sense of right and wrong. And so it's not unusual for them to turn on each other. Now, David Rockefeller also hinted at this, right? And if you don't realize that the communists were put into power in China by the deep state for these very purposes, again, you haven't been paying attention, go back and watch our episode on that. There's a whole wonderful book on it by Robert Welch. Again, may God forgive us. They deliberately betrayed our ally, Chiang Kai-shek. Hey, that sounds familiar, Afghanistan. Chiang Kai-shek was a close U.S. ally. He helped us defeat the Japanese in World War II. My granddaddy was actually over there fighting the Japanese. Chiang Kai-shek helped us win that war. And then the deep state swamp monster evil minions in the U.S. government stuck a knife in his back. They put an arms embargo on him. They said, hey, Mao, you should take over China. And of course he did. And then he proceeded to slaughter tens of millions of people. David Rockefeller went over there in the early 1970s. And he comes back and he writes in the New York Slimes, one of the worst publications on the planet, responsible for helping to enslave so many people under communism. Go read Rockefeller's entire thing. And by the way, Rockefeller was the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. But he said that the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in all of human history. Folks, let that sink in. Okay. This guy who's been, well, he passed away now. Can't imagine that went well. But this guy who's been at the heart of the push for a new world order, at the heart of the deep state for generations, thinks that the massacre of tens of millions of innocent human beings, the destruction of a civilization that was thousands of years old, and its replacement with a communist slave state like the one in Beijing, was one of the greatest social experiments and most successful social experiments in the history of mankind. Folks, this is crazy. Now, I closed my 2014 article on Afghanistan. One of my conclusions was separately, and I want to read this to you because it's more relevant today than it was when I wrote it originally. Separately, considering Communist China's growing machinations and money-making activities in Iraq after the U.S. government liberated it, the notion that Beijing would be among the top winners in Afghanistan after U.S. taxpayers and troops paid most of the cost almost seems natural. From Africa to Latin America, the same phenomenon is occurring. U.S. resources are squandered on counterproductive meddling, only to see Beijing, Moscow, and other players swoop in and reap the benefits. Can you say multipolar world order, folks? With the coalition combat mission in Afghanistan supposedly set to wind down at the end of 2014, it appears almost certain at this point that China will be among the big winners, while American taxpayers and soldiers are stuck holding the bag amid cheers from the U.S. foreign policy establishment. Folks, there are trillions of dollars of minerals in Afghanistan. There's huge lithium deposits, maybe the biggest lithium deposits in the world. Now we're all going to have to drive these silly green cars that don't work. Guess who's going to make the big bucks? The Chaicoms and the Taliban, because we have to buy their lithium to drive our silly green cars that don't work, okay? They've got all the rare earth minerals over there. We can't get them out of the ground here because, hey, it's bad for the environment, supposedly. But the Afghan, the Taliban, the Chaicoms, oh, take them all out. We'll buy them for you at overinflated prices. So, folks, this is just one in a long pattern of betraying our allies and boosting our enemies. Go look at Vietnam, right? Same scenario again. They put our military, they tied their hands behind their back. They sent them over there to go die, to go be humiliated. My dad was over there. They sent them over there to go die and be humiliated. And then they said, oh, look, the Chinese or the communists were just too strong for us. We just couldn't do it. Bay of Pigs, right? They sent those Cuban boys. My friend Frank Devadona went over there when he was 17. They sent those boys over there. They promised them air support. They promised them all kinds of stuff. And they said, ha, just kidding. You're on your own, suckers. And of course, they were captured and killed. And anti-communists all over the world were incredibly demoralized. Castro solidified his grip on power like never before. Guess who was responsible for that, guys? Alan Dulles, Council on Foreign Relations, over and over and over again, the same things. And I want to close with one thing, folks. All of these so-called foreign policy mistakes, these accidents, these fiascos, which is what the liars on the TV are telling us, all have something else in common too, and that is the destruction, the attacks on Christians and the church. We'll do a whole episode on that, but we're seeing it again, right? Everywhere where the U.S. government goes to meddle, Christians pay the price. Right now in Afghanistan, Christian missionaries are being slaughtered. As soon as the U.S. government invaded Afghanistan under the new puppet government that they put in, they knocked down the last church in Afghanistan. Can you imagine that? And the same thing in Libya, the same thing in Egypt, the same thing in Syria, the same thing in Iraq, the same thing in the Ivory Coast, over and over and over again. We'll do a whole episode on that, guys. But I want to close with this. Don't let anybody tell you that Biden and Harris and these Looney Tunes running the U.S. military are stupid. They're anything but stupid. This is not stupidity. This is deliberate. It's a plan. You're going to see it unfold in the months ahead. And yeah, you know, the media is all criticizing Biden. They may be getting ready to wheel the poor guy out of there and put in Kamala Harris so that you can't criticize anything without being a racist sexist. Okay, that may be the next shoe to drop. You know, the liars in the media that were selling you Biden yesterday didn't suddenly grow a conscience. They didn't suddenly become real journalists and say, hey, you know, we were wrong, right? This is all orchestrated for you. Don't be a fool. This is not stupidity. This was part of the plan by the deep state to destroy and enslave humanity. Thanks for watching, folks. I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State. Share it out. Send it to your friends. You know the fascists at the big tech companies won't let us get it out normal ways, so we depend on you to help us get the word out. Thanks, and until next week, God bless you all.
If you liked this video, then click that subscribe button with the little bell. If you didn't like this video, you're probably a member of the deep state. Am I wrong? Prove it. Hit the subscribe button. Just kidding. Thanks again, folks. God bless.